Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Pensacola, Florida, it's time for Pensacola Business Radio. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Keith over here, broadcasting live from DeVillers Square, Pensacola Business Radio. And I am surrounded with four very excited guests today in our studios. And I'm going to let them go around the horn and introduce themselves. So,
thanks. This is Heather Reichman. I represent Mom's Making Six Figures, and I'm super excited to be here.
You brought some of the six figures with you today, too, didn't you?
I wish. Sorry.
I'm Leanna Brennan. I'm a life and business coach right here in the Panhandle.
See, I told you, Heather, you were close.
I was close.
I told you, you were close.
I'm telling you, we're getting together after this. She's tired.
All right, Nicole, go ahead.
Good morning. I'm Nicole St. Aubin. I'm one of the co-owners of Realty Masters here in Pensacola.
Fantastic.
Good morning. My name is Galen Novotny, and I'm an attorney at the law firm Emanuel Shepherd & Condon.
Awesome. Well, good morning, all of you. Thank you for being here. So let's talk about your businesses. And Heather, you get to go first.
All right. I'm excited. A little nervous. We got a lawyer in here.
Hey, look, he's here to protect you, I promise.
Okay. Oh, see, I'm surrounded.
And probably me.
I'm surrounded by a team of love this
morning.
That's it. Okay. So Mom's Making Six Figures.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about. It's basically about empowering women and moms who have crazy busy schedules and lives.
Really?
I know.
No.
Right? a lot of them, you know, Moms Making Six Figures was created by a group of women in San Diego.
Yeah.
They were really busy juggling corporate America and children and lives. And, you know, we're all really, really busy. And trying to find that balance sometimes is really, really difficult. I know that I have left work in a panic attack once or twice by all of the pressure of your daily life.
And sometimes you don't even have to leave work. No, you can have a panic attack right in the middle of it.
I leave. You can't let anybody see that side, you know?
Yeah, right.
But they're so amazing. And it was created just to bring moms back to their families, to give them that flexibility to be able to still provide an income, because most of us need a dual income.
Sure.
That's just what our lifestyles dictate.
Yeah.
Be able to work with the schedule of their families.
Yeah. So how do they do that? What's the vehicle here?
The vehicle. Okay. So we have actually partnered with a US-based manufacturer who is just like the brand Moms Making Six Figures. The women actually make six figures. We work with a 30-year-old US-based manufacturing business, and they have chosen not to take the traditional role of advertising and anything like that. Everything that we do is genuine, spread word of mouth, through phone calls, through different meetings one-on-one, and we educate consumers on their behalf.
So a lot of direct.
Yes. Just think of us like a manufacturer's representative is what we are. We don't sell any products. We don't carry any inventory. There's no overhead. It doesn't cost you. You don't go into debt to get into the business or anything like that. And so for me, that was something that was a big deal.
So you guys don't actually sell the products for them. You sort of educate everybody that they're there.
Right. We just educate everyone on how to purchase the products or how to shop. It's all online, giving you that simpler ease of access. Most of us, you know, don't have a lot of time to shop as well. So it makes
so
it easier.
What's on there? What kind of product?
Everything. So we have over 450 products. Everything in your entire house but your refrigerator.
Chemicals, household stuff.
Everything is non-toxic.
Yeah.
There are no chemicals. There are no parabens, no chlorine bleach, no ammonia. No sulfates, which is great for the little ladies that like to color our hair. We need to get away from that. And so it's just, it's very honest.
Yeah. So, and you're fine. Do you find, I mean, I know I don't order much stuff online only because I don't have the patience for it. I'm one of those that like has to go to the store and have it in their hands.
Oh my gosh. One of my friends orders toilet paper online. Like it's serious.
But that's becoming a very big thing these days, obviously for convenience, but also just because I don't feel like going to Walmart. That's like the bad name.
Right, right. I prefer Target.
Yeah, okay.
We won't go into Walmart.
So, but you said it was all U.S. stuff. And this is when we were talking earlier. So everything's here in the United States.
Correct.
These are all U.S. jobs, U.S. products, U.S. money, U.S.
manufacturing, everything. Yeah. Yes, everything is right here in the U.S., and which is really important. We don't do a lot of manufacturing here anymore, and everything has gone overseas.
Yeah.
And so you don't know how long the products have been on the shelves. You don't know, you know, the freshness or the quality. Right. I don't know if I can say this, but we'll bleep it out later if I can. So there is a new protein powder that just came onto the market, and it is celebrity endorsed. And on the back of it, it was funny because one of the captions says, chemical not safe in the state of California.
Right. But the other 49,
I was like,
fine,
oh, but
right?
We're totally fine. Right. Because we don't live in California.
Yeah.
And then underneath that, it says may contain lead.
Okay.
Well, why would you put lead into a protein powder? I mean, that's
especially when you're trying to get the lead out.
Right.
Sorry, that was wide open. Right. I had to take it.
So let me tell you a little bit about what Moms Making Six Figures has done for me.
Okay.
So I work in traditional corporate arena.
Yep.
And I love my job and I love the people that I work with here locally.
Sure.
But corporate America is sometimes very scary and can put a lot of pressure on you. And I just found that often the better you perform, mm-hmm. the more they expect of you,
mm-hmm.
and the higher they put that ceiling, mm-hmm. and the more pressure. And
now, the rewards don't always equal.
And now
work.
I can't breathe in. Right. So no, and it's never an appreciated thing. It's never a pat on the back. It's
right.
never a, oh my gosh, you're doing amazing. We're going to double your quota.
Right.
Sweet. I live in Pensacola.
Your reward is more work.
Yeah. I live in Pensacola.
It.
You know, I'm not in an Atlanta or an Orlando or San Diego or, you know, big markets. And so it can be really frustrating. So what Moms Making Six Figures has done for me, basically given me options. It's given me this surround system of these amazing women who were in the corporate arena and who understand that it's not all about making that money. And, you know, when you work for a corporation that on a daily to weekly basis says to you, how much money have you made me today?
Yeah.
That is just gross.
Yeah.
And I can't do it anymore. Again, I'm not looking for necessarily an exit strategy because I love my clients.
Right.
I absolutely adore my employees. I also need options.
Yeah.
And this is a way for me to help reduce some of our debt, to pay it down without walking away, mm-hmm. without impacting my business as it stands now, and just giving me the release of mm-hmm. options. Because I feel like once you have options, you're able to breathe a little bit better.
Yeah,
and you
sure.
don't feel like you're stuck. And so I know that there are other women out there, you know, other men, other moms who are in that position. And that's really our target area.
Yeah.
It doesn't work for everyone. You know, it doesn't. If it's a job.
Yeah.
So if you don't have the time commitment, I wouldn't suggest it. But by me just taking a couple hours a night or on the weekends and really educating people about something that is very near and dear to my heart, it makes the rest of my week okay. I can
yeah.
get up and I can be at that meeting at 8 a.m., you know, the meeting about having another meeting. And, you know, you're like, oh my God, why am I here? Why did I get up? Why did I curl my hair? And it just keeps you going.
Yeah.
So this is, it's just a great way to breathe.
Yeah.
Really.
Do you have to be a mom to do it?
You don't have to be a mom.
you don't even have
to be a female.
Okay, that was my next question.
No, not at all. I work with a great guy named Bob in Orlando, and mm-hmm. he is super motivating and he's great. He also works a traditional job, and this is a yeah. way he's trying to reach out and become debt free and open up the options.
Yeah.
And that's really what it's about because, you know, corporate America, I think sometimes we're so focused on, oh my God, did you just see that BMW that pulled up next to me?
Right.
I really need that too.
Yep.
Well, that's a $700 a month payment. You really don't need it. You just want it.
You just want it.
You know, but
which is okay. It's
right.
okay to want.
It's totally. My sister just got a BMW. That's why I'm using that. But throwing her under the bus right there.
Yeah, that's all right.
Right. But it's allowing us to, I'm okay with my Honda Pilot.
Yeah.
I'm okay. I owe $3,000 on it. And next month, I'm not going to owe a penny.
Right.
And that is such a great feeling.
Sure.
Because it takes that $357 and allows me to save for a vacation.
Yeah.
Or, you know, my oldest is in college this year. They always need something,
Lord.
Right? Oh my God. The phone call is always.
That's half of a semester of books, maybe. Maybe.
Not even. It's like one book.
Yeah.
That they never even open.
Yep.
Let's stream them
it's
already.
All online.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
I hear you. I hear you.
So, but I also have a 12-year-old who's really needy.
Yeah. Yeah. What 12-year-old is
so,
it?
So, you know, the latest and greatest iPhone is not good enough.
Yeah. So get a second job.
I know, right?
So how long have you been doing this?
I have been involved since about November.
Yeah.
And we're seeing a lot of growth potential here in Pensacola.
Sure.
There are.
Are you the only one here in Pensacola?
I'm not the only one here
okay.
in Pensacola.
Okay. Well, that's okay, though.
Yeah.
You know, that means that it's obviously something bigger than
I think
just
I'm,
Heather.
I'm probably the loudest, most outspoken one of all of us. I couldn't get anyone else to come on the radio with
Look,
me.
I always
like,
and Leanne is good back me up here, but if you don't toot your own horn, nobody will, right?
That's a very good point.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm not delusional.
Yeah. No. I love what I do in every aspect. You know, I wear 7 different hats and I'm proud of each and every one of them.
Yeah.
And I'm just finally learning to find my balance.
Yeah. So if somebody's interested in this stuff or wants to get involved, how do they do that?
So they can reach out to our website, momsmakingsixfigures.com. What we do there is we kind of go through a screening process, just like every job that you interview for. You know, we call you back. We give you a little 10-minute spiel. We talk to you. If you're interested, we sit down with you face to face and really walk you through it. It's very laid back. There's no pressure. There is no mandatory anything, no obligations. It's just very relaxed, but it is a job. And where you don't have any financial outlay, you do have some time commitment.
Yeah. But I think you'll find that it's really good at weeding out those that want to do well and those that don't.
Right, right. And that's what it's all about, right? It's all about, for us, through the Moms Making Six Figures, it's all about finding women that want to work, that want to commit to the time so that they can have spare time to be with their families. Or that we have an amazing surgeon that works with us and was working 100 hours plus. And now she only does pro bono because she's completely replaced her income with Moms Making Six Figures. So she can focus on her family and pay off her student loans, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Being a surgeon,
which quite some expensive. Of us all still have.
Right. Amen. And and it's enabled her to do what she's really passionate about. Yeah. So these are professional women, you know, they come from all walks of life.
And do you find, I guess a lot of companies would find things more productive for the, when they have those that really truly want to do something.
Right. You don't have to be there.
As opposed to like getting up and just doing it because it's a paycheck.
You're not punching a clock. You know, I always tell people, if you don't like people, don't do what I do. Well, because you have to like people.
This is true. So if somebody's interested in the products, how do they find out?
They go right to the same place. Moms Making Six Figures.
So that's got all the info on it.
It sure does. It's basically just a catalyst for those people who are interested. We'll reach out to them. If they are interested in just becoming that part of it, we would love to educate them and sit down with them and, you know, show them what we do.
Awesome.
They don't have to be a part of the business.
They can just participate.
Very
cool.
How are the products delivered? Is it like
right to your
by
door?
Drone? By drone?
Not yet. UPS right to your door.
What's like the turnaround time? So
3 days.
3 days.
Mm-hmm.
Which isn't bad. No. And so here's where the guys like me who are like, I got to have it in my hand, got to have it now. But on the other side of that, if you plan far enough ahead, which sometimes I'm just not so good at.
We'll work on that, Keith.
Yeah, yeah. So, I am surrounded by a wealth of time management planning people, and yet I have yet to take up on the clues. But I guess if you organize yourself enough and, you know, Mondays you go to the grocery store. Well, instead Monday you sit down and you do all this stuff and you know it's going to be there by Wednesday.
So I'm totally not that organized. I do not know who you're talking to right now. Not me.
You know, I'm not either, but a lot of people are.
Okay, like, so how many times...
But I don't believe in the routine all the time either.
Right, so how many times do you go, oh my gosh, I'm out of laundry detergent. I got to go to the grocery store. 3 days later, you're still out of laundry detergent because you haven't had time. You know what I'm saying? So it works in every aspect. So just, you're going to get it in 3 days. It's not a big deal.
Is it mobile?
Totally.
No, so I can do it from my phone.
Oh, yeah.
Which is like the whole new way of
right. We make things easy, and I can't personally see on my phone, but you know,
so use the tablet.
Big huge Surface. You know.
Well, did we miss anything?
I don't think so. All thank right. you.
You're welcome. Hang out for a little while.
Definitely, I'm interested.
All right, so Leanne is going to fill you all in here.
I'm excited.
So let it roll.
Let it roll.
Let it roll.
Where to start, Keith?
You know, the beginning's always a good place.
I could sing. There's a song that goes with that. I think Mary Poppins sings it, but I'm not going to be singing today. So, I'm a life and a business coach. I'm one of 3 professional credentialed coaches in the Pensacola area.
Okay, so what does that mean, credentialed?
Credentialed?
I mean, other than legit. Gayla's here to back you up. So.
All right. Yeah, I've got to be sure I'm being honest because
we're legal here.
It means that I've gone to an accredited school and that I have passed an exam. My coaching's been listened to, and that I uphold the standards and ethics of professional coaching.
Yeah.
Anybody can call themselves a coach to actually be accredited.
Yeah.
is a higher level. It means that I'm not just doing my own thing out
right
there. That how I coach and the things that I look at in people's lives are really truly coaching. That yeah. I'm not giving them answers, that I'm looking for them to discover their own answers and what's going to help them to move forward and to really take their life from great to extraordinary.
Yeah. So how do you know if you need or want coaching?
Well, as a coach, we believe everyone needs
yeah,
a coach.
Yeah, there we go.
Just sitting next to her, I know I need a coach.
Yeah, right?
I have a coach.
Yeah.
We really believe that. And if you're a coach and you don't have a coach, do you really believe what you're
sure advocating? Do you, right.
And so anybody that, you know, has a great life, but wants more or has that little tapping on their soul that they just don't know what
else there.
There's something else there. What is that? The world puts so many expectations on us and so much stuff that covers up who we really are.
Yeah.
That with the help of a coach, you can peel away the layers and get down to who you are and what's really true for you. And the reason I say life and business coach is because, yes, I'm a corporate coach, been through the training, credentialed, but everything that happens in your business, I believe, is a reflection of who you are.
Oh, sure.
And so when you get down to that authentic self and you know what you value and what your answers are, then you can express it in your business, whether mm-hmm. it's Realty Masters or mom's making six figures or as an attorney. So to me,
you can't really leave your baggage at the door when you go to work. You know what I mean? Like no. That was always what, like, if things aren't well in your home or things aren't going well there, well, it's going to reflect. And like you just said, vice versa. I completely believe in that.
Right. Cause you're going to bring that home with you too.
Well, yeah. Exactly. Unless you get coached on how not to.
I'm so fortunate to be here today.
And one of those ways I would say to do that is something that you guys were just talking about, and that is calendaring.
Yeah.
And that you really truly do calendar as much of your life as possible. And I could go all coach on you and get you to tell me what are the advantages of calendaring the things in your life.
Well, I know, and I can say this because I have learned this from listening to those that I have surrounded myself with, whether it's been through Business Radio X or some of the other things that I have my hands in. But one of the best things that I've picked up is you calendar the quiet time, like those 15 or 20 minutes of decompression in the afternoon or the hour of I'm just not doing phone calls or Facebook or electronic and I'm just going to sit and whether it's read, whatever, but it's on there and it's blocked. And, you know, if it's blocked at 12:30 and at 12:31, you're working on another project, you really stop and you do that. And so that has been one of the biggest things that I know has helped me is just calendaring some quiet time.
Absolutely.
To let all that stuff in your head just settle for a minute.
And calendaring your self-care.
Yeah.
And that meditation, quiet time you're talking about, that's part of self-care. But everybody has different things that give them positive energy. And if you calendar those things throughout your day,
yeah,
then you've got a steady supply of positive energy. And the clients I work with are amazing people. And I have more energy at the end of the day than I start my day.
Sure.
With. One, because I do calendar self-care throughout the day, but also because I'm so inspired talking with people that
you sort of absorb some of that energy when you find yourself surrounded by people with really cool stories or just other things that are fun to do.
Oh yeah. You're a testimony.
I mean, I do. I walk out of here every day like, yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, I can do that.
So how do you calendar your quiet time?
Literally.
Funny you should ask.
But I mean, So for the listeners and for me, let's be honest, what do you schedule? Do you schedule like, you know, 15 minutes, shut everything off, turn your phone off, turn your life off? Or do you meditate? Do you do yoga? Do you like what kind of things help you?
Me personally, mm-hmm. it is that time to just sit and be that I'm not doing anything. Sometimes it's laying down in my office. I have a chaise lounge. Where I work, I'm sitting on a chaise lounge and I may just be sitting on my chair and just close my eyes. And it is amazing if you just take that time to just be open and not focus on things. It gives you space. And that's something that in our harried and hurried world, we're missing space to hear ourselves.
Yeah.
And also being open like that, I'll just have a thought. Something will come to me. It'll be a solution. or it'll be a totally new thought that's inspiring. Yeah. And it's like, oh, yeah, that's what I want to do.
So sometimes when you hear that freight train going through your mind, when you try to clear it, when you try to, that's okay.
Absolutely.
To let it go through.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. Don't fight it. Whatever's coming or going.
Yeah.
Nice.
Think about it, but then let it go. That's why they always tell you when, like, if you're meditating or you're chilling, just focus on your breath. So if you have those, all of a sudden your mind starts rambling 100 mm-hmm. miles an hour, and then you just kind of let it go, and you focus on breathing, because it stops you from thinking about the freight train coming.
Right.
So how many times do you find yourself doing that a day? Or how many times have you calendared yourself the day doing that?
I just have it calendared once a day. I have other things calendared. But one of those things that I don't have on the calendar that gives me great positive energy, I love a fragrant candle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and so in my office, I've always got some yummy Yankee candle. To me, they smell the best and they really fill the room. And so that gives me energy. Something else that gives me energy, if I've got a difficult call to make, is scheduling a positive phone call afterwards, so that I've got to make this phone call, but then I know I'm calling my BFF afterwards, and we're going to laugh no matter what happened on that previous phone call.
Sort of switch your nice. Your energy.
Yeah. So you're always putting that positive energy in there, and being sure that you eat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Regularly is really important, and that is
and healthy.
Multiple snacks a day.
That's hard. I ran into that. A lot of my clients, they want to coach at lunchtime for them, and I realized I had to schedule my own lunch,
right?
Because then it'd be 2 o'clock, and I'd be shaking, and I'd be worn out, and so that's something that's important to me, scheduling food.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is too, is if you're coaching them on their lunch break, well, then they're probably not eating either. And so then you're like, dude, this isn't healthy.
So, I listen to munching.
Yeah.
I do listen to munching.
Gotcha. Doritos and that sound gets me. The crinkling of the bag gets me across the phone. I don't know what it is. It's one of those sounds that just gets me. So, all right. I want to know, what's the difference between coaching and consulting?
That's a really great question. Because there is a difference between consulting, mentoring, and coaching.
Yeah.
And we don't always know. And I didn't know until I became a coach. And when I found out and learned a distinction, it was, that makes sense. And I could understand it.
Right.
Have you heard the saying, you can't see the picture when you're inside the frame?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so,
followed by, you should reframe it. That's usually how that one goes.
Well, we coaches do a lot of helping people reframe.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so if you think of, if you're holding up a frame to your face, you really don't know what you look like.
Right.
I know how you look in it, but you don't. And so if you go to a consultant may tell you, well, this is how other people look in the frame. They may want to tell you what other people in your situation have done. And so if you go to a mentor, it's a more personal. Okay, this is what I've done.
Right.
My frame, this is what I
right.
do. As a coach, my job is to be a mirror.
Yeah.
So that you can see what's in your frame. And I don't want you to see what's in my frame. I've got some great principles and things that I think are really true for how to live a happy whole life.
Uh-huh.
But your answers are not my answers.
Right.
And so I need to be a mirror so that you can see your own answers and see that amazing person that's inside your frame that doesn't look like anybody else.
So let me guess, your questions are not rhetorical then, are they? I could see that, like, people, they'll ask a question and then you're right, it's my answers, it's not yours, and so they're sitting there waiting for you to answer the question you just asked them, but it doesn't work that way.
No. And another thing I get a lot of times is, I don't know, and so I pause and wait for them to know.
Yeah.
Because coaching isn't for people that are mentally ill. If you need a psychologist or a psychiatrist, then that's who you need to go to. Coaches is for people that are healthy, whole, and capable of finding their answers.
Mm-hmm.
And so the I don't know, I believe you do know. There just may be a lot of stuff on top of that answer that we've got to peel away to get to it.
Yeah.
I will accept the answer of, I don't know my answer right now, or I need time to think about what my answer is. But just, I don't know, is not acceptable.
Yeah.
There really is an answer that you've got.
I hope you're prepared, Heather.
I don't know. Now I'm like, maybe I need a therapist instead. I mean, my question is, like, how do you know if you're whole, right?
Well,
a lot of people think that they're whole, but they're...
You know, I'm going to let you answer that one. But I think wanting to know that you're whole is probably enough to get you going. Yeah. You know,
and I tell you, I have worked with Leanne. I was grateful and was very fortunate. I mean, there's not a decompression room. I didn't need to like have an hour session with her and then come out and break down and, you know, decompress, right? Mm-hmm. The crying room, you'd see like the therapist.
Yeah, no, I don't need that. Okay.
No.
There's okay. But she's, fuzzy, cuddly animals when you're done.
But like she said, when she says, I don't accept certain answers, that's yeah. true. She's going to call you on some things and tell you, well, no, tell me why that is or why you think that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let me ask. So what made you decide that you wanted to do some coaching stuff? I mean, other than practicing law, which I'm assuming you always want coaching because you have to deliver,
sure,
you know, confidence.
I was looking for making some steps forward or move forward things in my business at that time. And I just, you know, it's kind of fortuitous, or, you know, I just happened to meet her at another networking event. And, you know, and I know people in the past that had worked with business coaches, and I always thought, you know, why are they doing that, or why are they spending that sure. money? You know what I mean? And sometimes I think, well, I've been doing it this way on my own for so long. Keep, you know, just kind of like that definition of insanity. Why you keep doing the same thing,
right?
Something different.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm going to expand out and talk to some different people and get some people to give a different insight. And, you know, we were talking a lot about the calendaring, and that was probably one of the biggest things that I learned. I always, you know, for the longest time, I would start my day out. All right, I'm going to sit down. Here's the 20 tasks I want to do today. And what mm-hmm. I found out is usually by the end of the day, the things that I really didn't want to deal with, they got carried over to the next
right. the next day.
So,
yeah. and the
so
next
3 weeks
day.
Later, it said, you know, some of those same things there. So, you know, what Leanne and I were working with is we calendar those things. Hey, we're going to do it at a specific time. So not as saying, hey, here's 1 to 20 that I'm going to try to do between 8 and 5. It's going to be, hey, 9 o'clock, 9:15, you know,
yeah,
10 o'clock. These things are going to come in there. So you would put it in there. All right, so here's that difficult phone call I got to make, or that client, or that situation. Well, this time, and then we're going to do it. And then at the same time, we'd calendar, you know, those other things. Hey, there's a time to take some time for yourself, or
right.
make sure you eat lunch. And I found it helps you be a lot more, you know, productive, not just making a checklist, which I still do. But now I just, you know, instead of a 1 to 20, it's, yeah. hey, I literally have a, you know, a calendar every day.
Just schedule your time.
Yeah. What's really important with calendaring is that it is an appointment, and that, and let's say that you have a dental appointment and you can't make that appointment. You call the office to, they don't just cancel your appointment. They reschedule you.
Right.
And so the same thing, no matter what you put on your calendar, if you can't do it at that time, you reschedule that appointment yeah. with yourself. Otherwise, yeah, it just goes into that swirling toilet bowl of never going to happen.
Yeah. Right? At what point do we have to face the fact that you can't keep rescheduling with yourself?
Well, and I call that the ostrich in the sand, right? Like you just bury your head in the sand and you just pretend that it's not there. I was guilty of that for a long time. So I get that totally.
So, so much great tidbits of information here that I'm going to have to take with me, but you know, we talked about how do you know if you want a coaching or whatever, but let's talk. I mean, is there like specific programs, or is it like, what do I just say, hey, here I am, coach me?
I actually get that a lot. Well, one of the ways I start is I ask people three words.
Yeah.
And which one calls to you? And fulfillment, freedom, and fun.
What if all three of them call to you?
Hey, that's great too. Okay. But a lot of times one will call to
yeah.
somebody.
Yeah.
And that kind of lets me know where we need to go. In addition to one-on-one coaching, I created a program that's a 12-week program for personal coaching. I also am a facilitator for a marketing program. And so if somebody says, you know, freedom is what I'm looking for, typically that's financial freedom.
Sure.
And so sure. their business, they would probably benefit from going through the marketing program. And so that's where I can lead. So it just depends on what they need and what's calling to their heart right now.
So, I mean, truly just individually engineered and designed for the needs of that person.
Absolutely. Huh? Every conversation we have, the client brings their topic to me. This is yeah. what I want to talk about today. Even if we're going through the program I created,
yeah.
They bring their topic on what they want to talk about. And that's really valuable because we may have been on a stream of consciousness for a while, but something's happened in their life and we need to deal with that now and the implications of that for them.
Yeah.
Instead of going, oh, no, 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 I'm sorry. Today we're dealing with this.
Topic X.
Right,
topic
X. Right. Yeah. Well, because you're right. I mean, whatever's pertinent in your life at that moment is the one that is taking your time and your energy. So
there's a reason
right.
that it's there.
Yeah. So you said it's stream of consciousness. Those three words make my ears perk up. So do you do like team consulting with businesses, or is it more of an individual basis?
I do work with businesses also. And so because you've got the business owner, and I really believe change starts at the top.
Sure.
It's really hard for a manager or employee to affect change at the top level of a business. So we start at the top, but filter it down. A lot of businesses have by default, by circumstance, a certain culture. And if we start at the top, we can create a new culture so that it's really empowering and fun. But like, it takes work.
Yeah.
And it takes, there's some people that will be with your business at the end of the process. And there are some people that will not be with your business at the end of the process because they don't want to change.
Sure.
They want to be stuck.
Well, change is hard.
We'll be stuck somewhere else.
Yeah, Change is hard, and it's easy to get stuck because you become complacent, and complacency is just easy, right?
In the comfort zone. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just easy.
Well, and it takes a lot of trust to be willing to change, and that's one of the things that a lot of employees don't have is they don't have trust.
Yeah.
And so you have to really build and establish that and let them know that this is a safe place. You can speak the truth in a positive, constructive way, but you can speak the truth here and it will be listened to. It will be heard.
That would be amazing for corporate America to adopt
and
that.
Reacting on is even better. It's,
right.
You know, okay, well, we're going to do something with these opinions.
Depending
on
what we can.
Sure.
You know, somebody may have something that's very true for them that the company can't change or can't act on.
Right.
And so, but being heard is so valuable. It's so rare in our...
It is. Because in most situations, I know in my... I can't speak my... I mean, my opinions are... I don't have a filter, so I would need work on that. But, you know, I would tone it down and make it professional.
Call that the 3-second rule.
Right.
Yeah.
But
breathe and then talk.
Right. But there's no way I could go to my boss and express any grievances or any things because they would say, okay, well, bye-bye.
Nice. And by the same token, who can the CEO talk to?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
When you have nobody else of, you know, you probably don't want to talk to your board.
No.
Because they're going to start questioning your ability, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so for them to have coach is really valuable. My favorite definition of the word listen is attention with the intention to understand.
Yep. As opposed to respond.
And my addition is not to formulate your reply.
Yep.
Because that's what most of us are doing. We're listening so that we can say something back instead of truly understanding what the person means. I hate to talk politics because I am apolitical, but I think if that was to happen with our political structure right now, if people were truly listening and trying to understand what the other person is saying, I think it would really change the
less violent
climate.
Yeah, right.
It's definitely not happening.
Less violent.
As soon as people hear what side you're on,
the walls up.
They don't want to talk. They don't want to dialogue anymore.
And now so far, you're un-American if you don't see it our way.
Right. Yeah. Well, my grandma used to say that God gave you two ears and one mouth for a reason.
I was just about to say, isn't that the Buddhist or the Zen or something?
Yeah, you need to listen twice as much as you talk.
That's right. I'm going to ask the real honest, hard question because everybody always wants to know, is it expensive to get coaching? Is this something that's feasible for people that might need it?
The public.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's very affordable. What you have to look is what's it cost you to stay where you are?
Yeah.
How much is it costing you in your business? How much is it costing you personally with relationships and just with your overall happiness in life?
Yeah.
So there's a wide range and it depends on if it's a one-on-one client, if I'm working within a company, working on the whole structure. And so there's a huge disparity length of fees there depending on what we do. So it's really custom to what you need.
So it's fair to look at this with the intent of a return on investment.
That's what I was going to say. I wouldn't look at it as a cost. You got to look at it as an investment.
What am I going to get out of it?
Expected return. So when you work out your budget and you say, hey, well, we're spending this on advertising, we're spending this, well, you know, your people are your biggest resource.
Yeah.
You know, especially if you're a sole practitioner or you're, you know, a solo employee or, you know, running your own business.
So, solopreneur, which is a great word.
Oh, I like that.
That's my word.
It's one of the great words that Theodore brought.
So, yeah, I think you just got to adapt your mind frame. It's as a cost as compared to an investment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like your car payment, that's a cost. I mean, you're going to have to pay it. And it's depreciating. Your car's going down in value every day that you drive.
Oh, that's a good analogy, though. We want to appreciate ourselves.
Mm. Oh, I like that.
So,
yeah. Man, I'm learning. Hey, man, I'm taking notes.
And I will say the International Coach Federation has done studies on the ROI of coaching.
Yeah.
And I'm not a numbers person. I love people that are numbers people. But there is an ROI for corporations and for individuals.
But then you really have to start getting into, you have to put a dollar amount to your time, to your emotions, to your, you know, to in that sense of like, you have to choose, is there a greater reward for me to feel better every morning getting up than it is to spend, you know, this amount of money?
Well, that's hard too, you know, especially coming from a busy schedules with, you know, everyone that's sitting here, we all have professional and personal lives. And how do you, my biggest fear is always putting a dollar amount on my time. I am one that doesn't do that regularly.
So. Or even your emotion. I mean, feeling good should probably be the most high valued, high dollar thing, but a lot of times it's just put to the side.
So do you have motivational speakers that you follow?
I do have, well, I think there's so much out there that's inspiring. There's so many people. Actually had someone just this morning say something that was inspiring
to me.
That was
me.
It was Keith.
You're welcome.
One of the many people was Keith. Someone that I do listen to, she actually does a Tuesday video that she puts out. Her name is Marie Forleo. And she's fantastic. So
I was gonna say, write that one down, Heather.
Write down Marie Forleo, F-O-R-L-E-O, Forleo. She's fantastic as far as a lot of coaching principles that she really does put out there. And I love that frequently she has guests on. She said Gary Vaynerchuk on there. Oh gosh, I can't even tell you all the different people that she's had on there. Richard Branson, that she interviews them and, you know, picks their brain and learns some of the beautiful gems that they've got for success personally and professionally.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So if someone's interested or wants to find you or hire you, where do we send them?
Yeah. Well, and so it's important to know that I don't expect you to, be my client without ever having spoken to me.
Sure.
And so one of the things.
So we're going out for coffee, aren't we?
typically I work on the telephone.
Yeah.
So you don't have to leave your office and I don't have to leave my chaise lounge in my office either.
I got to get one of those for sure.
So I do typically work on the telephone. You do have to be in a confidential space. Mm-hmm. So if there are some emotions that need to come out or some words that need to be said.
Yeah.
You need to be sure no one else is going to hear those except for the two of us. So you can either call me on my phone, 850-733-9242, and we'll schedule a complimentary session, a time for us to talk and see, are we a good match? Because if we're not, I know a lot of coaches.
Sure.
And because it's on the telephone, they don't even have to be here. They can be anywhere in the country. I've got
sort of like speed dating.
I can't picture like the bat phone in her office.
I know. Do you have a symbol?
Ooh. We need to get you one. your light in the sky.
I'm also on LinkedIn, Leanna Brennan. Mm-hmm. On Facebook, Leanna Brennan Life and Business Coach.
Very neat. So well, thank you for hanging out with us this morning.
It's truly a pleasure.
You're filling my head with all kinds of fun stuff.
Yeah, you've got a really great group today.
Yeah, I do. So let's go on to the rest of our group. So Nicole, how are you?
Doing well. Happy to be here.
So tell us, share your journey with us, please.
We're going all deep today.
She may be the only normal one.
No, there is no normal. It's just a setting on the dryer.
Stole my life.
That's it. So, okay, tell me about Realty Masters.
Yeah, well, I am one of the co-owners of Realty Masters and stepping into that role in the next few years to take over. My mom, retired Navy captain, started it a long time ago. And now we are the largest property management company in Pensacola. So, of course, we buy and sell and help people do the same. But that is our focus, is management for landlords and to provide nice rental properties for people looking to.
Are there any left after the tornadoes?
No. Actually, we have 35 right now. So check our website for that. But no, it is a very trying time right now. Mm-hmm. I have friends calling me every day. Cannot find a rental property, just desperate. Unfortunately, it was like that prior to the tornado.
Yeah.
And then I think they estimated over 300 homes with damage. So right now, active for rent in MLS, there's less than 350, and that's two counties.
Wow.
So that's so Santa Rosa and Escambia?
Santa Rosa and Escambia. Wow. So if you break it down, if you're looking for a three-bedroom, two-bath in Pensacola,
which is probably the most typical search, right?
There's 88. And yeah. The average rental price is about $1,150 active right now for those 88. Yeah. And just to put that in comparison, we have over 250 people each month come in our office to register to look at properties.
Wow.
So they're... are not enough rental homes.
That's a lot of influx in people too.
Yeah,
exactly. Well, it's peak. We're headed into peak season for rentals.
So military
January
turn
and February, exactly, are two of the busiest months. And then PCS season comes, families move during summer. Yeah. So it's not going to get easier as the year goes on to find a rental property.
So does a company like yours help stop like gouging and that kind of stuff because you manage so much? I mean, obviously being a landlord, to me, is a lot of work. And because you never know what's going to happen tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Like
what's going to break.
What kid drew on the wall, or, exactly, you know, what water main busted or whatever. But when you find out and you hear about this stuff, I just picture people being like, look, if you want to rent it, it's $2,500 a month. When,
yeah, not at all.
When really it's not.
No. You know, rents have been going up over the last 5 years. It's, yeah, they've raised over 13% in the last 5 years. Yeah. So that this is something they expected because of shrinking inventory.
Sure.
For years, landlords were stuck. They were hesitant. They couldn't sell. That's mm-hmm. why they rented their house.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, right, they PCS somewhere else and they could not get out of their property. So every month they were paying, in addition to their rent collected from the tenant, more money to the mortgage company, yeah, taxes, insurance, a property management company. So for years, landlords have been losing.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the unfortunate reality. And as now they can sell, which finally the market's recovering, now
we're
losing so many of those mm-hmm. that were rentals because they're being sold.
Yeah.
So they're shrinking inventory in general, across the nation, as well as in Pensacola, plus something like this tornado where people are displaced, that puts a lot of strain on the market. So it's normal price increases as predicted.
But even at that, for a three bedroom, two bath, $1,000 to $1,150, like you were saying, that's not bad at all. That's really not. I mean, I've lived in a couple of three bedroom, two baths that I paid more than that for. Luckily, I had roommates at the time. So we were like, yeah, sure, it's only this much per person. But when you took the big picture, it was like, that probably wasn't a good business deal. But that's not too bad, you know, especially if that's an average of both counties, I would think.
Yeah, it's just the rental rates are going up and income is not substantiating that. The income has stayed about the same.
Well, it's all based upon supply and demand, too, right?
Exactly.
So go build 100 more.
I know, right?
The lack of homes.
Well, there are more investors coming in to buy some of these foreclosed, blighted homes.
That's what I have seen a lot. There are a lot of people flipping the stuff. So they're buying, you're right, some of these foreclosed homes. In fact, there's three on my street that in the last 3 months have been purchased, flipped, and are now up for rent or somebody else purchased.
And that's going to help bring back supply to the market. Another thing is people who have been my generation, I'm not yet 30, student loans, they're scared from what they saw in the recession, and they're not purchasing at the rate that we've seen. So people need to buy and stop hating the landlord. I hate to say that, but you know, we see so much. I've been doing this for 12 years. We have over 900 houses. I have seen some houses that you just would not believe. And the landlord takes that risk every time. And there is a cost to that. And that should be considered, you know?
So if I'm looking for, you guys do buying and renting. So if I'm looking for either one, give me some tips. What's going to make me stop being scared and go buy a house, honestly? Yeah.
Well, I mean, you have to look at your situation. Are you stable? Do you have reserves? Does it make sense financially for you to purchase a house? And I mean, my mortgage, I'll say it, it's $680. I have
a lot less than $1,150.
Yeah. And I rented my house out for years at $950. I bought at the right time. I purchased a solid investment. There are unfortunately people who didn't do those, and they're paying in addition to the rent. So
be smart, do your research, talk with a lender and see what am I getting for what I'm paying in rent now and what can I afford? How much will my payment be?
Yeah.
And look at the risks and the benefits. You know, you're building equity. You don't have to. You can get whatever dog you want to. People are all mad.
Amen. Pitbulls, my lovely little Lola.
Like two posts yesterday. I was like, why don't they just? It was the funniest thing because they were like, you know, you're so worried about my dog. Well, let's just not forget to mention the 5-year-old and the 7-year-old who love to color everywhere.
Right.
Yeah. But you're worried about my little poodle, you know?
It's true. People, you know, that it's hard to, yeah. If you have an aggressive breed dog at all, you're not going to find a rental property through a management company, mm-hmm. because the insurance companies,
yeah,
they
won't cover you.
They won't unless you're a homeowner and you take that risk and not somebody else.
Yeah.
So, you know, another thing is people call all the time and they say, I need a 3-bedroom, 2-bath in downtown in East Hill.
With a pool.
Yeah. For under $1,000. There's only 5.
Yeah.
5
and they're
rentals.
Rented.
And they're not 3-bedroom, 2-baths. They're
2-1
inventory of East Hill and downtown, mm-hmm. right now. So I think another thing is just adjust your expectations. If you are renting, this is not your forever home. It doesn't have to have brand new wood and stainless. And I mean, if an owner just spent $20,000 remodeling the house, they're going to charge a premium rent,
yeah.
because that's their cost. So don't be so picky. I mean, I had a guy who said it has to have white cabinets and a jacuzzi tub. You know, okay, well, there's nothing. You know,
right.
When I restrict down to basic school districts, which are a necessity, especially
sure.
for working moms, you know, in Washington High School, 3-bedroom, 2-bath, there's 11.
Yeah.
Under $1,200,
yeah.
which, so you just work with it. You know, if you want to
choices,
the
choices,
house up
right?
yourself a little bit, if you want to find something and not get beat out by other people, you need to do a lot of research,
yeah.
act fast, have all your application documents ready, have everything you need to move forward with a purchase, if that's the route that you want to go,
right.
and act fast. When you see a property that works for you and your family, don't pick it apart. Just take
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we'll be flexible.
I mean, otherwise, you're going to be living in your mom's basement or something, because
right.
there's just simply not enough homes that are affordable out there right now.
And by the way, basements in Florida don't work, so don't think that's a better solution.
Very sandy.
Good point.
So well, we talked a little bit about the investors and the flipping stuff. I mean, do you have a lot of things ready to go for people that want to do that?
Well, we work a lot with investors trying to build their financial portfolio, and being a landlord. And right now is a great time to do that. But we've seen those deals dry up. So now only about less than 10% of the market is foreclosed inventory. And we are seeing multiple offers on all these affordable properties. We missed out on one last week for a client, and somebody bid $20,000 over the asking price and got it. So unfortunately, those are drying up as well.
Yeah. So move quick.
A little bit, again, move quick.
Yeah. But that's it. I mean, if you see other people making money, obviously it's a good idea and they go for it. So, and there were a whole bunch of them around here for a while, a lot.
We bought our house from
a renovation company. There were three on my street that literally in the last 4 months have been completely redone, remodeled, and are rentals now. So.
And we actually walked up to we're lucky enough to be in East Hill. And we were right down the street at a family member's, and she kept pressuring us, go see this house, go see this house. It's not even on the market. And it was something that we would not have even considered because it was 2-1. We wanted a 3-2. And finally, we walked down when they were working on the house, and I walked into the house and I made an offer that day, never went on the market. And now we live there. I mean, it's
so walk around.
Got to act fast.
Yeah,
walk around.
That's a good point. A lot of them do get rented, especially before. Mm-hmm.
They ever get listed.
Market.
Yeah.
So, well, we purchased it and we gave them full asking price and let's do this. So yeah, we were lucky to be in that position though.
Definitely.
So is it just you at Realty Masters or do you have like a whole team? Do you have a whole team?
Yeah.
Nicole is amazing. However,
we have 2 offices in Pensacola. We have over 22 on our team. We're the Pensacola Chambers Small Business of the Month. So that's exciting for this month for us. And we do lease twice as many houses as any other real estate company in the area. So we have more inventory than anyone. You can go on our website and sign up for a new rental alert.
What is that website, Nicole?
PensacolaRealtyMasters.com.
And you sign up for new rental alerts. When something hits the market, we'll send it to you if it meets your criteria. That's one of the best ways to stay on top of it and find a house this summer.
Very cool. Do you guys have mobile friendly stuff for phones and all that, tablets? And I've seen this other thing where somebody's got a code and I guess you can scan it and send it in and you get the key and you can go walk around the house. Is that something you guys are familiar with?
We do not do that. No, we do like people to come by our office before we
we'd like to know who's walking around our property.
Thank right. you. Obviously for our landlord's safety and for our liability. We do have the code on the sign. You can scan and see the website. And
right.
The
photos okay, of the cool. Gives you the listing and all of that.
But yeah, just do come by one of our offices and we'll get you into some of the houses.
And where are the two offices located?
We've got one over in Cordova Square near the mall, and then one in West Pensacola across from the Navy Hospital.
Very neat. Well, thanks for coming in today.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So we've got one more.
Woo-hoo. Save the best for last.
We said the best for last, but you knew that was coming.
That's
right. So walk us through it, Galen.
All right. Well, I relocated here to Pensacola back in 1999, right when I got out of finished law school and graduate school. I started practicing law, got licensed in 2000 here in Pensacola. I worked at a small firm for 5 years, jumped out on my own for 10 years as a sole practitioner. And then fortunate for me, I received an offer, an invitation to move my practice over to Manuel Shepard and Condon. And I did that just starting the fresh year in the new year in January.
Yeah.
I had a lot of good friends there, a lot of great attorneys I've known for a long time. And I was very fortunate with that relationship that they had some few areas that they wanted to cover, but they didn't. So I was very fortunate receiving those referrals. And last fall, I said, look, we're going to bring somebody in to handle these areas and keep that stuff in-house. And we like to be a full-service law firm, practicing all areas of law. We have a big personal injury department, commercial business practices, construction law practice, and a employment law practice. And unfortunately, they're running people calling in and saying, well, you know, one of my employees or my, you know, my customers or a family member has this family law issue. And they had, oh, I'm sorry, we don't handle that. And so
I said, but Galen does. So let's hire him.
That's basically what it was. Like, look, we're going to bring someone into it. Would you be interested in exploring to see if it would be a fit for you? And after, once we started talking and I was working with Leanna, and that Leanna helped me a lot going through that process as well. And, you know, the pros and the cons are, and why are you going to do this? Is it just financial? And so really, once the process got rolling, it was just really a no-brainer. It was just like, hey, this is going to be a good fit.
Yeah.
It's really been almost such a seamless transition. I worked out of the Harborview building for like 13 years, and I'm just so used to driving there now, I forget that I used to drive.
Right.
And really just my practice is just kind of just picked
up. Do you find yourself driving to the old office some mornings?
No, not too much. You know, I do miss the ride down the Gulf, you know, on the bayfront there, and you miss a little bit of scenic route. But,
miss the view.
Miss the view.
But they've spent a lot of time over the last year and a half doing just that, expanding their firm to really start addressing all areas.
What areas could we be serving the community or what ways they could be better serving their clientele?
Yeah.
I've always done a lot of criminal law work and I tend still to do that. And it's just the same way with all the different areas of their practice of, you know, hey, their employees, you know, get a traffic issue or something like that. And it was, well, hey, you're going to have to go call somebody over here, over there. Or, you know, one of the biggest benefits has been for me is with the attorneys, and some of the attorneys, you know, have been there for 30, 40 years, have been very long practicing, working there, but they got connections all over the state. So when some connection from the state says, hey, my, you know, neighbor's grandson got in trouble with attending a college, or he's up here doing this, and who, you know, can you guys help him? And now the question is, and so it works both. One, it benefits the firm, keeps that business in the firm, but to me, it benefits me to the extent of I was handling those kind of cases, but that referral was not coming to me.
Right.
So now my, you know, my networking grown capability went up 25 fold at least.
Yeah.
You know, with 25 other attorneys in the firm saying, well, hey,
which means you need some time management skills, don't you?
So it's good. It's been really great.
Yeah.
Great opportunity, great people. And it's nice to know, hey, they had a need and you're in a position to fill it. And that's kind of the same area with my practice, is dealing mostly with people. And the good thing is you're working with people. And
sure.
I always say sometimes the bad part is you're taking on the problems,
but
the good part is hopefully sometimes at the end of the day, you can really help them with those problems.
Yeah, and you're offering some solutions.
And it can get them through a difficult or a troubling time in their life. And usually it's one no one expects. I mean, obviously no one goes into a marriage or a family law situation thinking, hey, I want to end up in court. That's my goal.
That wasn't in the vows?
Sharing the intimate, you know, details of my marriage or my children, you know, and putting those hands in the decision of a third party making those decisions, or Same thing with the criminal. I think most people don't leave their house with the expectation of, hey, I'm going to be on the wrong side of the law by the end of the day. But and a lot of the stuff is, unfortunately, with traffic self-related, people don't realize how fast, you know, it can steamroll into and under a criminal charge.
Yeah, that a really bad day. So,
you know, we were all young and we all made foolish decisions.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
And, you know, fortunately for most of us, we didn't have to answer for those decisions, but some people do get caught and we try to help them through that time and make sure that if there is any responsibility on their part for their actions, well, hey, you know, then they're going to have to answer for that or you know, pay their dues to some extent or atone for them in some way. But we want to make sure that it doesn't have a long lasting effect.
Yeah.
You know, that's my biggest goal, especially when you get young college kids or teenagers and, you know, they like that dumb thing we all did, but they just got caught for it. But we want to make sure.
So eloquently put, dude.
Well, and everything is so different nowadays,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, it's on the internet. Everything. I mean,
everything.
If you get arrested, you get booked in Escambia County Jail, that jail booking photo is up there.
Yeah. Forever.
And you get, you know, they Google your name. You know, if you're an employer, we'll hire people. We deal with people. You know, a lot of times when I'm talking to a potential client, I'm already looking them up on the phone just to say, who am I actually talking to?
Yeah. Sure. So
the last thing you want to do is, hey, when someone's Googling your name or your business,
have a mugshot.
Exactly. Yeah. You know what I mean? So we want to make sure if we have to, you know, if we resolve their case, it puts them in a position that hopefully we can come back and, you know, later get it sealed or expunged. And so they're not 40 years old answering for a decision they made when they were 20.
Yeah.
And just coming back and haunting them forever. So,
yeah. So what specifically, like, family law style stuff do you do? I mean, obviously the unfun part of divorce or separation, sure, but there's other pieces of family law besides that.
Well, obviously the biggest or the most common thing would be a divorce where unfortunately a marriage is just not working out. And then we'd have to address those issues in their divorce. Florida is what's called, and it's a no fault state for divorce. And what that means is you do not have to establish or prove specific grounds in order to get a divorce granted to, where historically it used to be very hard to get a divorce and you'd have to come in and approve or establish or prove to the court, look, we had abuse, abandonment, adultery, or neglect. Florida, if it's a marriage, is irretrievably broken. So you can argue, hey, maybe it's too easy, you know, for people to get out of a marriage. Mm-hmm. But what I always tell clients is, you know, whether they want it or not, if your spouse wants it, it's going to happen.
Right.
So unfortunately, sometimes people are like, you know, I won't grant him a divorce. I'll never sign. I won't give it. I said, hey, he's already filed. You've been served. That train's leaving the station.
Right.
We need to get on it and just protect you. You know, we're not looking to clean out the other side or say, you know, destroy their lives, but you're going to have some rights and you're going to have some obligations. And I think that's very important. I think I always instruct people, if you're potentially going to have a family law situation, then you need to get out and just speak with them. It's well worth the consultation. Sometimes it's the best money the client spent. Sometimes the clients come in and I said, look, you know, here's your situation. This is what you need to know. These four things are going to happen. And they rethink hard. Is this really what I want before I turn my life upside down?
Right.
Before I, you know, move out, get a girlfriend and, you know.
Right.
buy her an engagement ring on the family credit card going to come back.
Sure.
And, so they sometimes think back and said, hey, is this really what I want? Or maybe I should go back. And now I say, look, I don't encourage people to seek a divorce by any means. I said, if there's a chance to save your marriage, now's the time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously that consultation is going to be confidential. You know, we're not going to share it. I'm not going to go home and to be, you know, very improper against the rules regulating the Florida bar to even go home and say, hey, guess who was in my office asking about a divorce? You know, I mean, all that. So you have an opportunity to come in and say, hey, this is my situation. You know, what are my options or what would I need to be afraid of? So we try to address those issues, those concerns in the divorce, but it's also family law covers a lot of areas. Unfortunately, a lot of today's, you know, children are built or born outside the bounds of marriage.
Yeah.
So you get these unwed parents. And at the end of the day, you know, you're going to run into, well, hey, whether it's the father or the mother, well, who has the rights or who has the rights to the child?
Yeah.
Who's the guardian of the child and who gets to say or do what? And at the end of the day, it's going to fall back into almost that same, you know, parental responsibility and time sharing, you know, lack of a better word, custody arrangement that you're going to run to just if the parents. So, unfortunately, I run into a lot of that. And along with those issues, you get the time sharing and the child support and those issues that run along with that as well.
So, okay. So aside from that, what else is with family law? I mean, do you do any of the estate stuff or anything like that? Or, a guy?
Yeah. Well, and again, that goes back to the fortunate side with being in the firm now, you know, when we're dealing with property issues,
we're
not running into. So now, hey, I turn to the guys in the real estate department and say, hey, what's the best ways we handle that?
Right.
There's going to be some estate planning. That's a little bit outside of the area of family law. Family law is primarily going to deal with those relationships when they come together or when they end and then addressing those rights. You know, but oftentimes at the same time, I say, well, you know, when you're getting divorced, you know, you're going to need to address your estate plans. Okay. And you want to make sure you address, hey, redo your will. Last thing people want to say, you know, fortunately their marriage ends and they don't change their beneficiaries. And it's like, you know, they want that insurance proceeds to go to their children instead of their ex-spouse or something of that nature.
So there's a lot of questions that sometimes you just don't even know you have to be asked, right?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
So I got to ask you, this is just a personal question for me, but how do you find yourself when you leave at the day? And I'm sure you're going to tune into this one, Lena, but it seems to me in the world of law and in the world of coaching that a lot of times you're taking on other people's, whether it be their problems, their issues, their successes, their failures, but you get a lot more exposure to that than I think majority of the crowd. How do you shut that down? Aside from the legal binding agreement that says you can't, but I mean, you got to carry that.
I would say that's probably one of the, as a young lawyer, is one of the hardest things I had to learn to deal with. You know, I always would tell, if I was a young lawyer, was asking me, well, what's it like or what to expect? And I said, one, you got to learn to take it personal. So when you have a, you know, with opposing counsel where you guys have, you got a, you know, very tough case,
or,
you know, there's very hard feelings there. You got to realize he's just doing his job. You're just there to do your job. You know, don't take it personal. Let lawyers, you know. But
we'll go out for lunch later.
Yeah,
maybe exactly. Not.
Yeah. So you know, you're there to look out for, you're zealously advocate for the best interest of your clients, and you got to expect that other lawyer to do the same thing. Then on the personal note with your clients, so that was, to me, is one of the hardest things. You used to lose a lot of sleep, and I'm saying you don't. That still doesn't happen, but unfortunately, you just have to learn how to kind of separate yourself and build that wall. And one of the guys I work with now, he said it to me best. I wish I would have heard it years ago, saying, look, we don't make their problems. We're just trying to fix them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so unfortunately, you know, I can remember the first time I had a criminal trial, and I was all very nervous building up for the trial and things, of all the work to go into it. Am I going to fall on my face and been alone in the trial, as well as, hey, am I going to be able to help this guy? But eventually I had to learn, you know, the reason that guy was in his position was the decisions he made long before you met him.
Right.
So, you know, obviously you're still trying to do, you know, do everything you can, like in a criminal case, you want to make sure, you know, he gets his procedural and his substantive due process. You make sure he gets his fair day in court.
Yeah.
You make sure that, you know, the system works for him and not against him. And, you know, unfortunately, some people did do the things that they're accused with.
Yeah.
And you make sure they got their fair day in court. And sometimes you have to accept it. And sometimes your clients, you know, have some responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you make sure you do everything you possibly can legally and ethically, obviously, to get them the best possible outcome. Unfortunately, you know, it's not a Matlock TV show at the end of the day where there's always a happy ending.
You know, in 1 hour.
Yeah, 1 hour. Unfortunately,
you know, if you practice family law or criminal law, almost any law, but you're going to have some unhappy
results.
And unfortunately, it's very hard. And sometimes, you know, I have a family law situation where the court, you know, awards primary time sharing to the other parent, and you got to walk out of that courtroom and your client's crying. And,
yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. And he just had heard the worst thing in the world to him. And it isn't easy and it's hard, but it's one of those you just have to learn to, I guess, find a balance from it. I mean, obviously you don't want to block it out so much where, well, I don't care if we win or lose, I'm going to lunch.
Sure.
Right. Well,
you have to have some emotional involvement, I'm sure.
But at some time, you have to. It's just, I think it was very hard to learn. It just takes time, I think.
Yeah. You have to calendar it in, Lena.
Yeah.
Exactly. I would say along those, that's one of the real gifts that I bring to coaching is that objectivity.
Yeah.
If I go there emotionally with you, I can't be objective and I can't hold that space for you to process. If I'm, you know, as upset as you are about this and crying, and I won't say that there haven't been times that I haven't had tears because I know how hard it is.
Yeah.
I know how hard life can be, but I've got to be objective. And that, I think that's the same with Galen. We have to step back and not let our emotions interfere with what we're doing.
Especially in family law, because, I mean, it's so emotional.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, absolutely.
It's different than most, you know, areas
and
of law.
And that's what made me ask the question.
Where the business guys, you know, the corporate guys, the state guys, at some point can tell their client, saying, I don't care how you look at it, here's the bottom line.
Right, right. It's a number.
Well, and they get to fire their clients. You can't always fire your clients.
But it's, on the family side, you know, I mean, so, you know, if these people cared and loved each other, you know, had that strong love each other and marry each other, then there's going to be some hard feelings coming out. And those kind of get clouded. And, you know, I always tell them, I would say your client, the benefit you have is I'm one step removed. I'm not emotionally invested in your spouse, or I don't have that history.
Right.
Where I'm going to kind of call back and say, look, at the end of the day, here's how the law works. And it is going to be a business decision to some extent. And mm-hmm. say, hey, if you want to fight over who gets the rake and who the shovel, you can do it. But he's going to pay his attorney X amount. You're going to be paying the attorney amount. And you could, another 12 months of aggravation, or, you know, do you want to get on and move on with your life?
Yeah. whole new level of coaching from him. So, well, Galen, let's tell everybody where they can find some information with your firm and whether they may or not need services.
The law firm Emanuel Shepherd and Condon. We're located in downtown Pensacola at 30 South Spring Street. We do have opened up an office in Sandestin, Florida. And we also have another small office in Tallahassee that some attorneys serve their clients out of. Our website.
Yeah,
sorry. I say that because Shane is a huge Gator fan. I know he's listening right now, so we're just going to rub it in his face.
But our website is www.esclaw, that's esclaw.com. You would just reach out to us and we can, I always say, look, if it's something I always tell potential clients or friends, look, if I don't practice that area of the law, I know someone who does it.
Yeah.
Now I have the benefit. I work with somebody that probably can handle
it. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Can get you to someone. Hey, I can't do it, but I hear somebody that I trust.
Yeah.
I would hire to represent me.
And they have that trust factor.
Does everybody in the firm, do they all do free consultations?
It depends on with different areas of law.
Okay.
Different kind of practices. So it just
really does family law. Cause that would be really weird if like a law firm showed up on your credit card statement, right? No, and you were like, well, I was pending. I was thinking about a divorce, but I changed my mind.
Because a lot of times you want to send a follow-up letter, you know, just really for their liability. Hey, you know, call it a declination letter saying, look, hey, you know, just confirm, hey, we met with you and you're not moving forward at this point. But
right.
They certainly want to be sending those letters to
right.
their spouse.
So they want to get the mail quick.
The wrong mail. People.
So
yeah,
usually,
sure.
You know, we try to kind of work around that issue just so that, you know, we're not.
Yeah.
Causing them, you know.
It sounds like you guys take that extra step to really protect parties and keep sort of some sanity through hard times like that.
At the end of the day, you know, what we're trying to do is get these people through the tough time. Of them.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well done. All right. Well, we've gone over on time than I usually go, but like I said, we could, and this has been great, but we're going to kind of wind down. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
It has been.
A pleasure.
This has been fun. I told you, you didn't have to be nervous.
I love this. I'm going to start my own radio show.
I might be able to help you facilitate that.
I know a guy you could talk to.
I know. Right, yeah. And then I could have my coaching. I have my realtor here and my attorney.
You know, we're in it.
I love this.
See how that works.
One big happy family. Amazing.
Well, I want to thank all of you for coming in today.
Thank you.
Very, very much. You guys can find us at PCola Radio X on Twitter. You can find us at PCola BRX on Facebook, or you can find us on our website at pensacola.businessradiox.com. Again, thank all of you for coming in today. This has been Pensacola Business Radio, where business is good and your work matters. Mm-hmm.